Welcome to the International Personal Finances 2015 half-year results briefing, hosted by Mr. Gerard Ryan, Chief Executive Officer. During today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. I will now hand you over to Mr. Gerard Ryan to begin today's conference.
Thank you, Lauren. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our call for the half-year results. With me today, I have Dave Broadbent, our CCO, Adrian Gardner, our CFO, and new on the line, we have Rami, who is our general manager for our new digital business. So I hope at this stage you've either had a chance to look at the video recording of our results presentation to analysts and shareholders this morning, or perhaps you've had a chance to read the RNS. So what I propose to do is talk you through some of the highlights and then go pretty quickly into question and answer session, because I think that will be the most effective for you. So let's start with the highlights. We were very pleased to be able to report a really strong underlying growth in profit before tax, and that was up 16% year on year, so 43.3 million. Now, clearly out of that, we have two further impacts to account for. One is the investment that we make in new businesses, and that was a shade over 3 million. And then there's the FX headwind. And in this period, the FX headwind was £8 million. To give some context to that, in the first half of the year versus the same period in the prior year, FX, the sterling rate versus the weighted basket of currencies moved by 12%, hence the £8 million impact. Now, the good thing about the underlying performance is that it was driven largely by top-line growth. So we saw a 10% increase in the credit issued in the period, and that was on the back of 6% improvement in customer numbers. And the combination of those two then gave us a 5% lift in revenue for the period. Adding to that, very good performance in terms of the portfolio quality. So for the period, we saw improved credit quality by 1.6 percentage points. And given that we grew the business healthily in the period, we were really pleased that that was the case. Now, a lot of this growth has come about as a result of two factors. One is Mexico is performing very, very well. We are really pleased with how Mexico is doing, and were it to continue like that into the second half of the year, which is our expectation, we would be very pleased. And the second part of the growth story came from the turnaround that we started to see in our European home credit businesses. Now, you'll remember that at Q4 last year, we suffered a setback in the European home credit businesses. When we announced our quarter one, or our year-end results in quarter one, we said we will tackle that with strategic initiatives. We've done that, and they largely revolve around extending our product range, improving our marketing, and just making sure that we got better cut-through with our customers and provided excellent customer service. And the impact of all of that is that we are now finding that we are more attractive to our customers, and we're beginning to see growth across those markets once again, which is really positive. In fact, the momentum was really good, and by June, we saw growth in our home credit business of 9%. Now, I wouldn't take 9% and extrapolate it forward for the rest of the year, because June is a good month for us, generally speaking. But it's a clear indication that momentum is coming back where we want it to be. Now, the other part of the growth story clearly comes from digital. And as many of you know, in December of last year, we established our first digital offering, so a fully digital business without any agent intervention. And we called that Happy Loans, and that was established in Poland. At the same time, then, we ended up in discussions with an external business called MCB Finance, and Rami was the general manager of that. And in February of this year, we acquired that business, and we subsequently put those two together to form IPF Digital. And Rami now leads that business with a combined team, and it has to be said that the integration went very smoothly indeed, as a result of which the business wasn't distracted, and in fact we're seeing record numbers for the combined business on a pro forma basis. So essentially, growth is up by about 25% on a pro forma basis year on year. That business now operates under three separate brands: the Happy Loans brand that we already had, plus the two brands that already existed in MCB Finance. And the way we view the business going forward is that the combination of the Provident Home Credit brand plus these three new brands and digital and the expansion of our product set in terms of longer-term products, shorter-term products, products delivered in a different way, i.e. prepaid on a card, in addition to the fact that we're opening up new segments such as microfinance and offering additional insurance products, means that we have lots of different avenues now to try and push growth in the second half of the year. In terms of the balance sheet, we did some work on our funding side. So effectively, we have renewed some of our bonds. We've gone longer, and the pricing is equally competitive to what we had before. And as a result of the improved performance of the business and the strength of the balance sheet, we announced this morning that we were entering our fourth consecutive share buyback program. Now, we've done that with a view to reducing equity to receivables closer to our target rate of 40%, and it currently stands at 46%. As of today, we haven't given a target in terms of the quantum or a particular date because we want to retain some flexibility in that respect. But we will be in the market, and we already are today, buying back shares at a price which I think is very advantageous for the business. In addition to that, we also announced a 10% increase in the interim dividend, and that now is at 4.6 pence per share, which takes us much closer to the targeted payout rate of 35%. So all in all, we're pleased with the results for the first 6 months. We have a lot of work still to do in respect of competitive pressure, particularly in Europe, but we feel that the traction that we've seen in the second quarter particularly, and the momentum that gathered towards the end of the quarter bodes well for the second half of the year. Now, any discussion on our business wouldn't be complete without a reference to regulatory changes. As you'll be aware, earlier this month, about 2 weeks ago, we released an RNS regarding changes to the draft total cost of credit legislation in Poland. Now, we thought about that because clearly nobody wants to have to make announcements like that, but we felt it was absolutely the right thing to do to inform the market as soon as we're aware that these changes were being adopted by the Parliament. In essence, what's happened, and I'll do this quite quickly, but in essence, the draft regulation was changed so that it's all charges pertaining to a loan that will be captured by the total cost of credit rather than what was previously the case under the draft, which was just mandatory charges. Now, what we've explained to the marketplace is that this is still draft legislation and therefore is capable of being changed further, and it is also very early news. So we are taking our time to come up with an adaptation of our existing product structure to make sure that if this new regulation is formally drafted into law, that we will be fully compliant. In terms of timeline, our expectation is that if there are no further amendments to the draft, then it should be with the President for signature sometime in August, with an effective date probably around January of next year. To the extent that there are further changes, be they technical changes or more substantive changes, then the draft will go back to the lower house to be reapproved and then forwarded to the President for signature. In that case, we would expect it to reach the President sometime around September or October, and then to become effective probably towards the end of Q1 next year. Now, as we're seeing shareholders and analysts, clearly the single question that's foremost in people's minds is, what do you think the financial impact of these changes will be? And we're giving the same answer that we gave when we made this announcement, which is, this is still draft legislation, and what we want to do is see the final version of this when it's fully approved and will be implemented. And we will take our time to come up with the correct adaptation of the product so that it's fully compliant. And in due course, we will then come back to the market and explain what we think the impact will be. I have to be straight with you and say it is not in our interest at this point in time to go out into the public domain and start talking about how we will mitigate any impacts of this, for the simple reason that as it is still draft regulation, it can be changed and it can be made even tougher. So we will come back to the market, my estimation is, sometime probably towards the end of Q3 or early Q4. So notwithstanding that, in the round, we're pleased with the first 6 months of the year. The momentum that we've seen in the European businesses particularly pleasing, but we still have a lot of work to do there. The Mexico business is doing really, really well and looks set to reach the targets that we've talked about publicly in the past, both in terms of profitability per customer and customer numbers. And the integration and growth of our digital business gives us great hope for how that business can develop in the future. So with that, I will now hand it over to questions. So Lauren, if we could open up the call for anybody to ask us questions, please, that would be helpful.
If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. We will now take our first question from Paul Bezens from APG Asset Management. Please go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Good afternoon. Paul Bezens from APG. Just a short question. Did you disclose the APR that you get in Poland? Thank you.
Hi, Paul. It's Stuart here. Our APRs clearly are in the public domain because when you advertise your products in Poland, you have to attach the APR to it. So those are already in the public domain. And the interest rates that we apply are fully compliant with the interest rate cap that currently exists there, and that is 4 times the Lombard rate. So all of that information is in the public domain.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. We will take our next question from Keith Baird from Pandui. Please go ahead, sir. Your line is open.
Hi. The question is, given that the first half profit level was down, I think, year on year, what's the best way to look at the year as a whole? Would it be to assume a similar level of seasonality for the full year, or has the seasonality changed a little bit, if you see what I mean?
Hi, Keith. It's Adrian Gardner, CFO. In sterling terms, yes, the half-year profit number was lower, but that was entirely driven by the impact of the strength of sterling. So if you unpack it, the underlying increase in profit was £7.5 million, 16%. Against that, we increased the level of investment in new businesses by £3.3 million, and we saw an £8 million adverse movement coming from the strength of sterling, and that was as a result of sterling having strengthened on a weighted basis against our trading currencies by about 12%. And that FX impact will continue on into the second half. As currency levels stand right now, we expect the impact on the second half to be about 10%. So I think the first point is that the business is growing profit and grew profit quite well. In terms of seasonality, we do see some variability year to year. You're right that the first half is always a smaller half than the second half. It is approximately 40-60 and has been across a number of years, but we do see some variability year by year against that. We expect to see a similar sort of pattern for 2015, which is not a way of saying this is what the number will be in the second half. But the seasonality shape that we see will continue in this year in the way that we would normally expect. And that's in part driven because going back to school for the beginning of the school year in the autumn and Christmas are two of our biggest trading periods which drive a lot of our profitability.
I'm just really trying to get a sense of whether or not the full year of 2015 will be a reduction in profit terms as the first half was, or whether you're going to be able to make it back up again in the second half. I mean, it sounds like you're expecting a better second half from the point of view of volume growth.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at sort of the momentum, we were coming off the back of a relatively tough quarter for us, particularly tough quarter in quarter four of last year, and a slight slowing down in some of the growth that we'd seen in the second half of last year. You may have been able to see in some of the presentation slides, which are on our website, that we're seeing that coming back. So if you sort of follow that trend, you would expect to see in growth terms that the second half of 2015 is slightly stronger in comparison to the first half of 2015. But in terms of the absolute sterling level, we're not trying to give a forecast to the market of the overall level, and we give you some sense of shape of where we are on FX. And I think that the real position for us in terms of underlying trade is that the underlying trading continues to show good growth.
So Keith is here. Justin is here, and he'll happily give you a call to update you in detail if you want.
It'd be a great idea. The
underlying earnings growth we continue to believe will be very strong as it was in the first half. Clearly, there's not a lot we can do about the FX movement. We do have to convert back into sterling, but the underlying fundamentals of the business are very strong.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. It's just that okay. I would very much appreciate it, Justin, if you could call me. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I will do, Keith, yeah.
As a final reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. At the moment, there are no further questions in the phone queue. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. Okay, well, thank you, everybody, for joining. As I said, you know, we're actually quite pleased with where we've arrived at the half year, in particular because of the turnaround that we're seeing in the European home credit businesses. We still have a lot of work to do because it is intensely competitive out there. But when we look at the momentum, particularly at the end of June, and we look at how July is starting, we feel quite positive about that. Mexico continues to deliver as we expected it would, and the digital business is off to a great start. We will come back in due course on the regulatory piece, but don't expect anything too soon. We do have to wait for that regulation to be formalized and enacted, and then take some time to rework the product structure. Okay. So thank you very much for joining, everybody, and as always, we are available for individual calls if people require that. Okay. Lauren, thank you very much.
Thank you. That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.